Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song. I invite you to turn to 2 Kings, if you will, and we'll look at the 6th chapter division. 2 Kings, chapter 6. The title of the message today is The Lost Axe Head. We have a story before us that God put in His Word. Therefore, it must have spiritual. So there are some lessons that we can learn from the Word of God today with a spiritual application. And even though it's just a story of something that really took place, not a big major thing, but an incident that happened, it still speaks to our hearts today. The lost axe head. This had to do with some seminary students, we could call them, Bible college students. And they were at the school of the prophets, Elisha. And they said, we've outgrown our facilities. That's a common problem. And they said, we need to go build some more. And he said, well, let's go build some more, but you take some lumber with you, or let's take some axes and go down there and cut down some trees, and we'll build larger dormitories and bigger places for you to listen to me and so you can be trained. And so this is the story. And one of the seminary students that was poor, I've very seldom have ever met a seminary student that wasn't poor, especially during the seminary days or Bible college days, like many of us have had to do, he had to borrow something. And so he borrowed an axe. So let's look at the scripture as it gives us this story, beginning with verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. In other words, it's too narrow, too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. It's great whenever the people want to follow the leader, and they want the leader to go with them. And so Elisha was that way, and they wanted to go together. And they said, we want you with us. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. And the iron, that is the iron part of the axe head, the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Very simple story, but I think some good practical applications. When we think of the axe head, let's think of it today as being the instrument of power. Having power to do the job. If we're going to get the job done, no matter who we are, we need the power of God to get the job done. Every preacher here, we have missionaries here, we have former pastors who still preach here, we have preachers here. We know all too well that the thing we need more than anything else is the power of God on our ministry. I mean, nothing will suffice to get the job done like the power of God. The power in the pulpit must be the result of prayer. Not only the preacher's prayer, but the prayer of the people. The prayer of those who are praying for the man of God. Jonah had power, I believe, when he was in the will of God, went to Nineveh and preached. And all of Nineveh had a great revival. I believe it took the power of God. John the Baptist was preaching in the power of God when he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And people responded. And there was action because he prayed with power. Spurgeon shook a whole continent for the Lord because Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, had the power of God on his ministry. And D.L. Moody had Chicago in his hands. Why? Because he had the power of God on his ministry. I covet the power of God on my ministry. There are those times I wonder why there's not more of it, like many preachers and many missionaries and leaders who serve in that capacity. But we always want it. We pray for it. We need it. We know that if we're going to do the job, we've got to have the power of God. That's why I would encourage all of you to pray for the leadership of this church. Amen. Pray for me. I want to have the power of God on my ministry. Soul winning, preaching, teaching. I want it to be there. Counseling, whatever it may be. I want the power of God. And I pray for it, and I hope you pray that God will give it to us and the leaders of these other ministries. But not only do the preachers need it, but the people in the pew need it. The bus workers need it. The nursery workers need it. The choir members need it. The Sunday school teachers need it. Those who are serving in any capacity on the staff, they need it. We all need the power of God. The people in the pew need it. I hear about some of those occasions where people sang in the power of God in the old tabernacles and the old time church services. And I don't necessarily say that that has to be running up and down the aisles or shouting, but I tell you, beloved, there ought to be the power of God present. We should pray for it. We should thirst for it. We should hunger for it. We should want it so very much. We should be able to sing in the power of God. How firm a foundation. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. We need to sing in power. We need to teach. We need to serve in the power of God. And we must have it. One of the ways to have it is to have tears. Amen. The psalmist said in 126, 5 and 6, these words, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." If we are willing to cry, "He that goeth forth in what? Weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We got to start out with tears. He that goeth forth and weepeth, toil, working, laboring, but tears, weeping and praying. We need to have a list of people that we want to see saved. Do you have your list? Do you have a list of people that you're praying for to be saved, to come to our church to be saved? You should have. We should all have the 10 most wanted list or something like that. People that we're praying for constantly, so that the power of God would work in their life, so they will get under deep conviction and they cannot hold back. They'll have to come down the aisle in order to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. The old time, as it's referred to, Pentecostal power, that comes through toil and tear and heartache and praying. I want to tell you, friend, if the Word doesn't disturb us through prayer and all of that, we'll never disturb the world. We'll never do it. We've got to have the power of God, and it only comes through toil and tears and triumph, and part of that toil has to be in our prayer life before God. Power is always lost in the prayer closet. If it's lost anywhere, that's where it's lost. In the prayer closet. If our ministries are powerless, it's because of the prayer closet. If our church is powerless, it's because of the prayer closet. If anything we do is powerless, it's because we do not have the prayer closets that we ought to have. The time alone with God in prayer. Abraham prayed. Thank God he was a man of prayer. And Lot was spared from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah, I believe, knew that God could answer prayer. And over 5,000 Assyrians were destroyed because of the power of God. And Sennacherib was slain because of the power of God. Elijah prayed, which we've already seen as we've gone through 1 Kings. He prayed. And Elisha prayed. But Elijah prayed. And he prayed to see if Jehovah was going to show up or Baal was going to show up. And because of his short prayer, God showed up and the enemies were embarrassed. If we want to embarrass the enemies, the world system and those around us, we got to do it through prayer. The power of God, the power of God, the present power of God in our lives. Mary, Bloody Mary, Queen of Scotland, feared John Knox. Why? I believe because he was a man of prayer. He spent time in prayer. If we're going to lose our power, we're going to lose it usually in the prayer closet. Have you prayed today? Did you pray for this service before you left home today? Did you spend last week praying from Sunday to Wednesday for the Wednesday night service and from Wednesday to this Sunday, asking God daily, bless our church, bless the preacher, bless the ministries, bless us, give us your power, show up, God, on Sunday. Let us see what you can do, not what we can do, and do something so that when it's done, we can't take the glory. We'll just have to give it to you and say we could never have done it. The glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God. We are no greater than our prayer lives.
Amen.
That axe head, as we noticed, was borrowed. The power we have, my friend, is borrowed from God.
Amen.
I don't have it in myself, neither do you. Luke 11:13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The power of God, we all have him living in us, but we need his power on our families and our ministries and what we're doing. Now, what messes up the power? What keeps us from having the power of God in our ministry? What causes that to leave? Prayerlessness is one thing, but we begin to violate God's principles. And when we violate God's principles, and one of them being prayer, we begin to lose the power of God in our lives. We violate the principles. Instead of Jesus being on the throne in our hearts and in our lives in the throne room, ego gets up there. And the next thing you know, we don't have any power. We're filled with pride rather than power. God's not looking for pride. He's looking for power. We're not submissive to him. We don't have any power. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible commands us to be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. The minute you lose it, get on your knees, repent, get back the filling of the Holy Spirit, so you'll be like a drunk man controlled by the Spirit of God. A drunk man has the alcohol that is controlling him. It is in power of his or her life. That's the reason they act so funny. They do things they normally wouldn't do because they have the power of alcohol that is over them. And we need the power of God over us to make us above and beyond the norm as a revived people, as God's people with power. The workman, when he lost the axe head, when he lost the power to cut, when he lost the power to fell the tree, he just stopped chopping until they found the axe head. I believe he went back to chopping after that. But he just stopped chopping. It isn't going to do us much good to chop with an axe handle, is it? You're going to hurt. You know how you hit a baseball sometimes and, man, it hurts your hands? You go ahead and try to chop a tree down with an axe handle, it's going to hurt your hands. About one lick and you're going to say, this is futile. And yet many times, don't we try to serve God like that, just chopping with an axe handle without the sharpness of the axe head and the power of God in what we're trying to do? It is so foolish to try to serve God without power. We can't do it. It is foolish to do it. Well, where did he lose it? Well, he lost it in a pool of water. And so he said, let's go back to that place. That's where he lost it. Go back to where you lost it. Where did you lose the power? If you don't have the power today and the anointing of the Spirit of God on your life, where did you lose it? We all know where we lost it. If it's back at the prayer closet and you know you're not praying like you used to, go back there where you lost that keen edge, that sharp edge of the axe head, and pray and get back the power that you had. Get that axe head back on there. That's what we need in our service and in our ministry. Where do we lose the power? We lost it in a pool. There are a lot of pools out there where we can lose the power. One of those pools is the pool of idleness. We get sort of idle. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. What God is saying through the writings of the Proverbs is, as believers, we shouldn't be idle. I was thinking the other day about a lot of sideline Christians. They're just sort of there and idle. They show up occasionally, show up on Sunday and they just sort of sit. They sing a little bit. Some do, some don't. They'll hear the preaching, leave, go home. Never get involved. Never teach a class. Never drive a bus. Never sing in the choir. Never serve as an usher. Never maybe give any money or tithe. Don't do a lot of those things. Never get involved in missions or the missions conference or revivals. They just sort of sit on the sideline. Beloved, I don't think God's pleased with that. I believe God expects us to get involved. The pool of idleness is a bad pool. And I think that may be what got David in trouble. I know David probably already knew where Bathsheba was and a little bit about her and all that kind of thing. But I believe that day he should have been out to battle, but he was idle. And that gave him too much free time, and therefore he got in trouble. God tells us not to be idle. Another pool is anger. How many Christians do you see that get angry and bitter, and therefore they take it out on God? That's a sad lot and a sad state of affairs when people take things out on God. They get angry and get angry at other people. Again, the Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom, of being wise, says this: he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. He tells us we should not be quick to be angry. I know people that quit on God. They don't have any more power in their lives because they are angry at a relative, angry at kinfolks, angry at somebody else, angry at the preacher, angry at a former church member or some former preacher. We need to get rid of all that stuff. Those are pools that rob us of our joy. It rob us of our power and joy. We can't have that. We've got to be right and walk together in harmony and unity in order to do that. And that means we have to have self-control. And again, the writer in Proverbs says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. If you can rule your emotions and your spirit, you're stronger than a military man who can go take a city by military might. It takes power to do that. And God says, don't lose your power in a pool of anger. Many people have lost it right there. Some in the pool of envy. Job says, envy slayeth. We don't have time to lose our power in the pool of envy. And then there's the pool that is the pool of uncleanness. Uncleanness, sin in our lives. Basically, the bottom line of all of it is, when we allow sin of any kind in our lives, we lose the sharpness and the ability to have the power of God working in our lives. The pool of uncleanness. Uncleanness can come in different ways. One that the Bible mentions is in our conversation and what we say every day. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is corrupt communication? Well, it's dirty jokes, curse words, gossip, downright lies. Don't let this be in our lives, in our conversation. He says, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Talk about things that build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. God says, don't let your conversation be unbiblical and negative and contrary to the principles of God. And when that's there, you're going to lose the sharpness of the power of the axe head in your life. It's going to be there. You show me a critical church member, and I'll show you somebody who has lost the edge of the power of God in their lives. It's always going to be that way. It's always going to be that way. He talks about conversation, talks about conduct, and these are just two of the categories. Ephesians 5:4, he says, our conduct ought to be right, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. We shouldn't go around complaining, doing all of that, or living in sin, or talking about worldliness and our interests be there, but giving thanks to God and praising His name and letting people know who we are and whose we are and where we stand and why we stand for the glory of God. Now, where do you find the axe head? You go back to the place and you pray and take it to somebody who can help you. And in this case, he went to Elisha because he knew he could help him. He said, where'd you lose it? He said, let's go back over there. And it took a miracle, didn't it? That was a miracle. Gravity pulled that axe head down. And he went to the source of help to bring him back, to help him out. And God was good, and Elisha was there. And they took care of the matter by cutting down a limb, putting that limb in the water, as he told him what to do. And he said, where did it fall? And he cut down a stick and cast it right in there, right where it fell. He said, that's where we need the miracle. That's where you need your miracle today, if you've lost that fine edge and that power of God on your life and on your family and on your ministry and on your service to the Lord, and the enthusiasm level that we have or should have. Where we lost it, we need to go right back there and trust God for a miracle to put us back on the high plane where God really wants us to be. Amen. That's where God wants us to be. And it takes a miracle, and God overcomes some things in His mercy for us, for our benefit. Now, all of this too is a picture of the unsaved person. It's just a picture of the gospel. How so, preacher? Well, look at it. Number one, this man had a problem, didn't he? He had a real problem. He lost something of value. So it was just an axe head. Let me tell you, back in those days, that was important. An axe head was important. That'd be like losing your John Deere tractor if you're a farmer, you know. The axe head was important. And they couldn't get the job done without it. And not only that, it was something that was borrowed. And he didn't have the money. If he had the money, he'd have bought his own, but he was poor. And here he is in a mess, in a condition like that. He lost something of value. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did whenever they sinned against God. They lost the blessing of God and the peace of God. And because of Adam and Eve, we have lost it too. That's why the Bible says we're all sinners and we need to be redeemed. We lost something in Adam and Eve. We lost our righteousness. And we can't get to heaven without it. There's no way we're going to get to heaven without it. He had a problem. And the result was he owed a debt. And he couldn't pay it. There was no way he could pay this man. As I said, if he had the money, he would have already bought him an axe head. But how is he going to pay him back? He can't pay him back. He's got to have an outside source, an outside help. That's why he went to Elisha. I've got to have help. I borrowed this. I have no money to pay the debt. A poor student. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You and I know that that's the debt we owe, and we're going to die and go to hell unless we come to a source of help outside of ourselves. We cannot pay it back. You say, well, I'm going to go to church and attend church regularly and pay it back. That won't do it. You say, well, I'm going to have the Lord's Supper and be baptized and try to pay it back. That won't do it. You say, well, I'm going to try to be the best person I can from this day forward. That won't do it. You cannot pay it back. You don't have the resources, nor do I, to pay a debt. It's a debt we cannot pay on our own. The reaction of the man, he realized he needed help. He's in a predicament. He went to Elisha, and I'm going to tell you, my help, I needed help. My help comes from the Lord. Every person needs help. They need help. They're lost. They're sinful. They have that disease called sin. It's going to send them to hell. They need help. And you can't find it in yourself. You got to go somewhere else. Where do you go? You go to the Lord Jesus Christ. My help cometh from the Lord, the psalmist said. And thank God the problem got solved, didn't it? What did it take for the problem to get solved? Seemed like a very simple thing to us. By the way, love was shown and kindness was shown. Aren't you glad Elisha didn't chew him out and say, you dummy, why were you so close to the water? You shouldn't have been chopping close to the water. Or reamed him out. He didn't do any of that kind of thing because he came to him in sincerity, and God will receive us as we come to him. Kindness is shown, and as a result of that, a sacrifice is had. A tree had to give up a limb, and that limb had to be cut off. You say, well, that's a very small thing, but it was a sacrificial thing. And that was placed into the water. And that, my friend, is a type of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. A tree upon which Jesus Christ died, where the sacrifice was made for me and for you. We had no hope, we had no help, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross. The simple plan of salvation. The miracle that took place on Calvary. Jesus stretched out in his agony and passion and pain, dying and paying the debt that I could never pay. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but thank God now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Why? All because, the songwriter said, of God's amazing grace, and a miracle took place. And so what happens is the cross is placed into the pool of our sin. And when Christ gets through, his blood cleanses all. And thank God for the miracle of redemption. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Heads are bowed. We'll not make the invitation long. As God speaks, you come. If you're here, and I hope you'll listen very carefully, but if you're here right now without Christ, friend, you're just like this student, this seminary student of the School of the Prophets, who lost the axe head, who couldn't repent, who had no way, who needed help outside of himself and found a miracle. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. You need Christ. And the miracle is at Calvary. And all you have to do is come and ask for help. Trust Christ today. You that are saved, may God help you to respond as he has spoken to your heart. Father, bless in the invitation. It is yours. It is your power that will have to do the work. And I pray, dear God, that the Spirit of God would chop into the souls of our hearts and speak to us. And show us what we need, that we as a church, we as individuals, might have your power, your best, your blessings, the sharpness of the Lord in our lives that will enable us to get the job done that you've called us to do. In whatever ministry we're involved in, Lord, help us to chop with a sharp axe head, in Jesus' name.